Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood has recently undergone heart surgery for an aortic aneurysm. While he recovers, we will be airing best of shows. We hope you will pray for his recovery. God willing, he will be back with us in a matter of weeks. Meanwhile, if you would like to drop him a note of encouragement, please email him at radio@pastorwood.org. Thank you and enjoy the broadcast.
We are in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to focus in verse 19 and following, but I want to remind you of verse 16 and following. So we begin our reading there in James 1, 16 and following, and then focusing in verse 19 and following. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In the context of reminding us that every good thing comes from God, and that God does not change, we are told that God chose to make us new, to give us new birth, to give us new life through his word. But then we're told, "My dear brothers, take note of this. We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." God wants us to live a righteous life. God's righteous life in us is produced through his word. It is not produced through anger. Now, we're not going to spend the whole time on anger today, but let me just mention a few things. First of all, love is not easily angered. Right? You know that from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not easily angered. And you and I are supposed to live a life of love. If you find that you are easily angered, it's a love problem. And love is of God. The real thing, not the cheap imitations that the world is offering these days. Real love comes from God. God is love. And if we're going to abide in Him, we need to abide in love. And when we abide in love, we're not going to be easily angered. But we love Him because He first loved us. If you are resting in the love of God, it is much easier to love others. If you are insecure about whether or not God really loves you, can I really trust Him? How do I know He's not out to get me? If you feel insecure in your relationship with Him, it is going to affect every other relationship, and you are not going to manifest His love the way that you should. God desires for us to live a life of love, and that means we're going to be able to love other people. We're not going to be easily angered. We're going to be able to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Well, now what would contribute to our not feeling secure in the love of God? What would cause us to feel like maybe God is angry with me? Could it be moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent? Remember, this letter is being written to believers, and believers have to be told to get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. What does prevalent mean? It means it's widespread. It is pervasive. It's all around us. Now, I mean, not here at the ranch, not in your life, not in mine. Actually, our human flesh is still a horrible, diseased thing. We've got a false version of cheap grace that is spreading like a virus through many churches that basically says, just accept the fact that you're loved and keep on doing what you're doing because God loves to save sinners. Well, God does love to save sinners, but He loves to save sinners, not just forgive us. God's intention is to change us. And so we cry out to Him, purify my heart. Cleanse me. I want to be different. I want to be changed. What comes naturally to my flesh is not holiness. And so I have to deny myself, die to self daily. It's a constant, ongoing thing. And so we are told as believers to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and to humbly accept the word that has been planted in us which can save us. Receive what God says. Embrace that, because that is what has the power to transform us. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul says in Romans 12. And then he describes what this looks like. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If you want the Word of God to save you, if you want the Word of God, which has been planted within you, to have the effect it's supposed to have, you can't just say, well, yes, that's true. We have to do what He says. Don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself immediately goes away and forgets what he looks like. Somebody commented on my beard just recently, and it took me a second because I'd forgotten I had one. I went so long without a beard that now that I have a beard, I'm not usually thinking about myself, happily. And I mean, that's a good thing. Otherwise, I'd have a problem with depression. But, when somebody commented, I thought, oh, yeah. But, every now and then we see ourselves and we're just like, oh, what is that? Well, that phenomenon, which is not just a Western thing, we have a natural tendency to forget what we've just learned. Okay? We see ourselves, you'd think we'd learn from it, but instead we tend to forget it. He says, don't do that with the Word of God. When you look into the Word of God, you're seeing something that is much, much, much more important than what you look like in the mirror. So whereas we have a natural human tendency to forget what we see in the mirror, don't forget what God says. Do it. Do it. Put it into practice. Jesus said the person who hears the word and obeys it, puts it into practice, is like a man who builds his house on a solid foundation. But the one who hears the word and does not put it into practice is like a man who builds his house on the sand. So you and I need to be building our lives in obedience to God. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, is that what you want? It's what I want. I want to be blessed. God loves us. We are His dearly loved children. But folks, you will be blessed if you do what God says. God creates the universe. God creates human life. God invents marriage and the family. God designed all of this magnificently. And He says, now, do things this way, and it'll work splendidly. And we're like, well, I don't know, that looks difficult. I think this looks appealing. Why would we think that? Why would we think that we're going to improve on God's design? Crazy. Crazy. But it's the human, sinful nature.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown.
Verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Now, he's already said at the start of this section, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He's going to say again in chapter 3, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And then in verse 3 through 12, he's going to talk about problems taming the tongue. Okay? Yeah, I mean, this is a huge area of difficulty for human beings. Jesus tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where does that junk that comes out come from? It comes from inside us. Okay? It is a horrifying manifestation of the ugliness inside. And oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, if we don't succeed in this area, what we say, then the rest of it is invalidated. If right now in the middle of my speaking, I were to just all of a sudden walk over and hit one of you in the face, and then said, oh, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. you might forgive me, but I don't think you'd really take the rest of what I had to say very seriously, would you? Okay? You'd find it hard to listen to me, and not just the person who got hit in the face, everybody else in the room. Because the rest of you from then on would all be thinking, is he going to do it again? Who's he going to hit this time? I mean, it just absolutely shatters. You say, well, you've never walked over while preaching and hit someone in the face, have you? Not with my fist. But I've said things that I wish I hadn't. And not just while preaching, but in all manner of situations where I have not been led by the Spirit of God, I have spoken out of turn, I've said things I shouldn't have said. And it's not just if you tell a lie. Sometimes you're telling the truth, but in a most unloving manner. And so we're told we should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And if we don't keep a tight rein on our tongue, then we're not really practicing religion that God loves. And what is the purpose of our religion? What is the purpose of it? Is it to make ourselves feel better? Is it to impress other people? Or is it to please the Lord? There are a whole lot of people who engage in religion without even believing the content of what they're practicing. They really don't. And they'll admit that. I've talked with people who are, in terms of their schedule, faithfully at the church, but they don't believe the stuff. They'll say prayers, sing hymns, okay? It can't hurt. You know, why do you cross yourself after you? Well, it couldn't hurt. Athletes, coaches, and clergy. I know preachers who spent years practicing religion, leading others in the practice of religion, not knowing the Lord at all, not really believing it was true. Dr. Andrew Jumper shared his testimony with me, told me that he was well-respected pastor of a large church in St. Louis, Missouri, and went to call on a friend from the congregation. He and his wife had become friends with this woman and her husband. She was in the hospital. He went to call on her there in the hospital, make a pastoral visit. And after he had talked with her for a few minutes about her case, he did what preachers typically do, and that is, well, let's have a word of prayer. And her response utterly shocked him. She said, oh, come on, Andy, you don't believe in that stuff any more than I do. And Andy was just shocked because he realized, she's right, I don't believe in prayer. I don't really particularly believe in God. What am I doing? What am I wasting my life going through all these religious motions for? And it started Andy on a search. And as he searched, thank God he read the Bible. And as he read the Bible, thank God he was saved. And his life was absolutely transformed, and as you might imagine, his ministry was as well. But let me tell you something. There are a whole lot of people who are doing religious things because it makes them feel better. And there are people who are doing religious things because it looks good in the community. It makes them seem more trustworthy and like somebody who you might want to do business with, because after all, they're very religious and they do charitable works, and so it's helpful. But let me tell you, there's only one audience that matters. The only thing that really counts is, what does God think about it? Well, James says that it's possible to be religious but be deceived and have a religion that's worthless. Worthless. Not just unworthy or not worth as much, but worthless. How much will you give me for this thing on Antiques Roadshow here? Well, that one is not in very good shape. It's only worth this. I've never seen, I mean, maybe there's, I don't watch as much as my wife. Maybe she'll say, no, actually that happens sometimes. But I don't think so. If it does, they don't put it on camera. Where somebody brings something forth and the people who are there say, actually, that thing is utterly worthless. Right? Have you ever seen that? I didn't think so. You know, because almost anything is worth something. There are people who are devout in their religion and it is utterly worthless. 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 I don't want to be like that. So how do I avoid that? Well, for one thing, I ought to listen more, talk less, love more, and therefore not be quick to anger, and remember what God says and do it. And then he gives a wonderful example. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Remember, the devil's a judo expert. There are some people who focus on not being polluted by the world. They want to just shut themselves off from everything, have nothing to do with outsiders. They basically want to stay pure, okay? And therefore, it's best really just not to get it. That'd be like wanting to be a doctor who doesn't have to deal with sick people, okay? In order for us to do what God wants us to do, religion-wise, we're going to have to take care of people who are hurting. And that means the fatherless, and it means widows. Though God's word is very clear that that doesn't mean you just do whatever people want you to do. One of the sad things in our culture today is we don't realize that some of the things we do to try and help people doesn't help. It's counterproductive. And so the word of God is specific about who qualifies, for instance, to be on the widow's list. One of my sons met with a person who heads up a ministry and said, read this passage if you would and tell me how you think that fits with what you're doing. And the guy read it and he said, gee, if we followed that, which is Scripture, it would eliminate almost everybody who we're helping. Well, see, if that's the case, perhaps you're not really helping them. If what you're doing is not what God says you're supposed to do, then are you really helping? Orphans and widows in their distress. In other words, meeting the real need of those who are really needy. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Both are necessary. If you're involved in all kinds of mercy ministries, but your personal life is filled with unholiness, you're not practicing what God desires. If you're seeking to be really pure and holy, but you're not involved in meeting the needs of others, you're not practicing what God desires. God wants us to do both. He wants us to be a holy people, unpolluted by the world, in the world, making a difference in the lives of hurting people. Both and. That's what it looks like to put God's word in practice. I don't know, you know. Can you give me an example? Yeah, how about Jesus? Jesus was surrounded by people who did bad stuff. And it never made Jesus unholy or impure. Because Jesus wasn't envying what those people were doing. He was there to deliver them from it. But if you and I are going to be like Jesus, it's going to take transformation. Because we are not that way naturally. So, God's word comes into play. And His word, which He's planted in us, is able to save us. So we allow God's word to renew our minds, and as a result, our lives are transformed, and as a result, we're practicing religion that is not worthless. It is holy and pleasing to the Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.